with me. Holy Spirit, we are helpless and hopeless without you. And we rely on your promise that your word will not return without accomplishing the purpose for which you sent it. And so we pray tonight that you would open our minds to understand and comprehend the glory of our risen and ascended Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Good evening, saints in the Lord. Uh-oh, there are three saints. Good evening, saints in the Lord. We'll warm up to it. If you were to rank the festivals of the church year, which would be number one in your estimation? Don't be bashful. Christmas. Did you say Christmas? We have one for Christmas. Easter. Easter. Oh, a vote for Easter. Good, good. A vote for Easter. Well, isn't that amazing? Are there any other festivals in the church year? Ascension Day. Ascension Day. Hallelujah. Well, listen. How important is Ascension Day? Augustine, Bishop of Hippo in the late 4th, 5th century, said this. This, Ascension Day, is that festival which confirms the grace of all the festivals together. For unless the Savior had ascended into heaven, his nativity would have come to nothing, and his passion would have borne no fruit for us, and his most holy resurrection would have been useless. Where in the world does Augustine get off putting ascension at the head of the list? Well, I'd suggest to you that he gets it right from the words of Jesus. John chapter 17, as Jesus is making his way to Calvary, he pauses to pray. And he begins his prayer in John 17 by saying this, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son. Now, I've studied lots of books on the Gospel of John. I've even read the Gospel of John. And it would seem, if you stop there, that the cross and the resurrection are the glory that Jesus was referring to. But if you go just a couple of verses later, he says, Father, glorify your Son with the glory that he had before the world was created. Do you realize that the ascension is the answer to Jesus' prayer? How important is it to Jesus? Where does it rank? Where does it rank for you? Obviously, it means something. You're here. I'd like to look at the ascension tonight and consider it from two different perspectives. One is that the Scripture refers to the ascension of Jesus in a passive way, and then the Scripture refers to Jesus in an active way. Listen to what it says in the Acts that we heard tonight, chapter 1, verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Do you see the passive voice there? Jesus was taken up, and he was received. Something happened to Jesus. Verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly, intently toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. The very word ascension implies for us that Jesus kind of zoomed up into space, doesn't it? And yet the first thing we hear in the Acts of the Apostles about the ascension is that this is something that happened to Jesus. He was taken up. He was received. He was taken up. We hear that in Mark's Gospel as it was read tonight. And after he blessed them, he was taken up out of their sight. Why is that? Why is there a passive aspect and an active aspect? The passive aspect, first of all, is the Father's perspective on the ascension of Jesus. Father, glorify thy Son with the glory that I had before the beginning of the world. Jesus is exalted by the Father. The ascension is God's seal of approval on the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man and the Son of God. He's already received the Holy Spirit at his baptism. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit throughout his earthly ministry. But now comes the moment when the Father exalts Jesus to the place that he had before creation. We're not just talking about the ascension of a man who was crucified and rose from the dead, but the very Son of God who came to earth to destroy death, to destroy the penalty for sin, and to rise from the dead so that you and I might be delivered from sin's power. And because of that, Jesus then is exalted by the Father. It says there in Mark's Gospel, "So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." We hear these words from the Apostle Paul in the book of Philippians. "And being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him." Brothers and sisters, that's the ascension of Jesus. "And given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow." Your knee! Turn to the person next to you and say, "Your knee!" Now look at yourself and say, my knee should bow. "Of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." Jesus received the exaltation of the Father for completing the mission for which he had been sent. Brothers and sisters, you and I are the fruit of that mission. But then we have phrases like this. John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 17, Jesus said to Mary Magdalene at the tomb, when he met Mary shortly after his resurrection from the dead, "Do not cling to me, Mary, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." You see, Jesus was exalted by the Father, but he's also ascending under his own power to the place that he had prepared for himself from the very beginning of creation. He's ascending. It's something that Jesus does in cooperation with the Father, who takes him up to receive him. Jesus also cooperates and is sent to do that. Jesus says in the Acts, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." What was the purpose of Jesus going back? He was not yet completed in his work. His next step, his last step in the work of the church, was to fill us with the Holy Spirit. And so it says, "You have heard me say, for John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Exalted by the Father, Jesus ascends so that you might have the Holy Spirit, so that you might have the real living presence of God within you. Not just something that happens to Jesus, but it's something that Jesus does and that happens to us. Peter says in his first sermon, on Pentecost Sunday, Acts 2:33, "Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and have received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." The Holy Spirit in the life of every believer is to proclaim the death, the resurrection, the ascension, and the coming again of our Lord Jesus Christ. That which you see and hear. My brothers and sisters, that's the power of the church. We don't have to invent a message for the world. We have the message that came, the Word made flesh. That's the message that we must share. Is it the message in which you've trusted? Have you trusted Jesus? Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, "In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of the glory of God. Do you know what glorifies Jesus? As St. Irenaeus said, men and women who are fully alive in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, that glorifies Jesus. That glorifies the church. That draws people to Jesus. When He is lifted up, He will draw all men and women to Himself. Are you lifting Him up tonight, brothers and sisters? It's not enough to celebrate the ascension liturgically if we aren't living the ascension practically. I'm almost out of little tabs, so breathe easy. I don't know if I'm within the time limit or not. Well, what else did Jesus do when He ascended into heaven? Where did sin begin? In the garden. Really? Where did sin begin? I have my hearing aid cracked up. The problem is I only have one in because I have a microphone on the other side. I'll assume that this is what you've said. Sin began in heaven. It was very at the throne of God where the prince of the choirs of angels rebelled against God and sought to make himself equal to the Trinity. And so Jesus ascends, it tells us in Hebrews, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, the one in heaven, that is not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption for you and I. I don't know if you've thought about it, but just as Christ delivers us from death through His death and resurrection, He fills us with the Holy Spirit to deliver us from sin's power and tempting us. And now He's gone to prepare a place for you and I. John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I am going there to prepare a place for you. Tell the person next to you, a place for you. If there's nobody telling next to you, tell me. I need to hear it. There's a place for me. Jesus has gone to, what kind of place is it? It's a sinless place. Have you ever been there? Can you imagine what that's like to be in a place where there is no sin? I can't wait. My wife is excited about the prospect. But you and I have a Savior who has gone to prepare a sinless place for us to dwell with Him forever. And He's coming back to take us to be with Him where He is. I'm going to skip that point and go to this one from Paul in Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, say to the person next to you, you were raised with Christ. You were raised with Christ. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Say this, my life is hidden with Christ in God. My life is hidden with Christ in God. My life is hidden with Christ in God. Put it on the mirror in your bathroom. You get up some morning and you look in there and you think, my life's hidden. Read the card, with Christ in God. That's where you are. That's where I am. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Of course, that wouldn't be true here. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must forgive. I want to wind this up by having a little moment to think about the first appearance of the ascended Jesus Does anybody know when that was? I'm not going to quiz you. The first appearance of the ascended Jesus is in the Acts of the Apostles. A deacon like Robert and DJ and Nathaniel. A deacon named Stephen, a man who was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. He had received the promise of Jesus. His sins were forgiven. He was delivered from death and Satan and the grave. And now he was filled with the Holy Spirit to proclaim this news to the world. Stephen had a problem. People didn't like to hear what he had to say. There was a Jewish synagogue of believers who thought that that was just absolutely incomprehensible and unacceptable that Jesus should be the divine Son of God in the flesh. And so what did they do? They decided to take Stephen outside the city and stone him to death. But Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, Acts 8, chapter 8, verse 55, but he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven. Isn't that where we left the other disciples, the 500 or so? Gazing into heaven. The angel said to him, "Why are you gazing into heaven?" Stephen was gazing into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I thought Jesus sat down when he ascended into heaven. Isn't that what the creed says? He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. Why is Jesus standing when Stephen is gazing into heaven as being stoned to death? To receive him. It's part of the reception. This is what I see Jesus doing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus gives Stephen a standing ovation as he prepares to enter the realms of glory with his Lord Jesus Christ. The work's been done. Stephen's received it, and now Stephen's receiving the reward of Jesus' work. I've been a member of the liturgical church since January the 8th, 1950. I've been in and out several times, but that's when I was baptized. And one of the great fears I have is that we in the liturgical church can celebrate the great festivals and mysteries of our faith and never connect the dots. I didn't connect the dots. I heard all about Jesus, the birth, the resurrection, the passion. I heard all that. But nobody ever said I could know Jesus. Do you know tonight that you can know Jesus? That's his intention, is for you to know him personally. So that at that time when you're at the last breath that you're taking and you gaze into heaven, you see Jesus standing. Well done, Anna. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come into the joy prepared for you by my Father. What is the ascension? It's a picture of everything that is going to take place in your life and my life because of Jesus. He's gone to prepare a place for you. He's gone to prepare a place for me. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. I'd invite you to sing the song on page 9 in your bulletin, the